Amen. We're going to start off. We're going to look at Ephesians 4, 21 through 32. Paul is talking to the church about living together in unity and in peace.
Okay, so we're going to read this together. He says, don't read it out loud. He says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you.
All right. So remember one thing this morning. Remember this. Bring your new self into your relationships. Bring your new self into your relationships. Because the old way of doing things, your old self, right? They didn't work in your old relationships. So don't bring those old ways into your new relationships or into your current relationships. Okay? So how do you know? Maybe you might be thinking, I don't know if I had my old self in my old relationships. I don't know. All I know is that I have a string of relationships that didn't work out. Right? If you have had relationships that didn't work and didn't work and didn't work, and you blame the other person and you blame the other person and you blame the other person, you probably brought your old self into those relationships and not your new self. Yeah, think about that for a second. Don't we do that? This relationship didn't work out. We blame the other person. It's all their fault. They were this and they were that and they were this and they were that. And you know what? If you would have had your new self in that relationship from the beginning, A, you probably wouldn't have gotten so involved with that person, or B, it would have worked out, right? Now, granted, there are those circumstances that are extreme, and I'm not going to cover every base today, but if we look back and we blame and blame and blame, we're probably bringing our old self into those relationships. Bring your new self, okay? Verse 22 says that the old way is what? It's corrupt, right? The old way is corrupt. It's depraved, it's perverted, it's evil. The old way is not exactly a recipe for good relationships, right? The old way of blaming and demanding and wondering about our needs. What about my needs? Honey, what about my needs? Okay?
You're a grown man.
All right?
You can find your way.
Oh, yes. Okay? So our relationships, if we're bringing our new self into our relationships, they're going to be marked with righteousness, right? If we're bringing our new self into our relationships, those relationships are going to be marked with holiness. They're going to be marked with purity. That's bringing our new self, our redeemed self, into our relationships. They're going to be marked with these things. It doesn't all happen magically when we become followers of Christ, but we're new creations. And you know, so we're continually allowing the Holy Spirit to help us to live like we're new creations, right? We're just allowing the Holy Spirit to help us to live like new creations. And so we're going to talk quickly about some of the ways that we can walk this out in our relationships. So the first thing is this. You tracking with me?
I'm tracking.
All right. The first thing is this. Let the Holy Spirit renew your attitude. Let the Holy Spirit renew your attitude. It's so important. Holy Spirit, renew my attitude. Give me an attitude like Jesus.
You should do this daily.
Yes, you should do this daily. All right? So this is where it all begins. Once you have a poor attitude about your spouse, so if I have a poor attitude about Wendy, right? Or if I had a poor attitude about one of my children, and if you've ever had a child get on your nerve a lot, right? You know that you can get a poor attitude. You'd be like, ugh, why don't they just listen, right? And you're like, what do 1,000 battered children have in common? They don't listen, right? So we get really mad at them. I know, it's horrible. So it was horrible, right? But here's the thing. Once you have that bad attitude, once you've kind of, you've begun to make that negative talk in your mind about your spouse, y'all know what I'm talking about, or you begin to kind of make that negative talk in your mind about your boss, or you begin to make that negative talk in your mind about your neighbor, or negative talk in your mind about your children, it's really, really hard to break. It's really hard to break that. Yes?
You said my part.
I did? What?
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, there have been times, seasons, I'll admit, that I got a bad attitude about my spouse, maybe.
I have never had a bad attitude about you.
Sure.
I don't believe. I have never thought anything but positive
things about
you.
Any of you believe that? No, I didn't think so. Thank you, y'all. But what I've noticed is this. When I begin to focus on the things he does that I don't like, or sometimes even more often, the things he doesn't do that I wish he would, right? Because it's all about our needs and what we need, then those things become my focus. And then my whole attitude about him changes. So then everything he does seems annoying. Not right now. But at least I've learned to recognize this. So when the little things start to get annoying, I have to go, oh, okay, what's going on here? There has got to be something. And it's up to me. It's not, well, what did he do to get me to this point? No. Where's my attitude? And why am I looking at him this way? Because that's not fair to him, and it's not good for me. So remember when Pat and Jean were here and they told us all about, we need to die to ourselves in the relationship. We have to die to ourselves. So we have to remember to look at our spouse through the eyes of Jesus and ask him to help us see them or our child or our coworker or our friend that's annoying us. Jesus, help us to see them through your eyes. Because if we do that, it changes our whole perspective. And if we practice gratitude, you guys, we never talk about this, but so I feel like we should bring this up, that we should practice gratitude. I'm being sarcastic. We talk about it all the time. But it works. That's why we talk about it. If you can find something to be thankful for, grateful for, about your spouse, about your children, about your job, about whatever, it changes your attitude. So we have to practice gratitude.
Yeah. You think about what are some of the things that you're grateful for. And one of the things that that really helps with our attitude is our talk, right? The words that we use in our relationships are so, so important. Even when, and I think guys probably have more of an issue with this than women, depending on the guy. But, you know, guys, what do they like to do? They like to quip, kind of tell jokes, kind of make little, you know, funny remarks about our wife. And we joke. And can I just tell you that the words that you use, whether they're in jest or not, are incredibly powerful. They're super powerful. And so I kind of grew up in an environment where we just said whatever came to our mind. I mean, like, it just, you know, it didn't matter if it was a criticism, if it was a praise. It didn't matter if it was like a joke or a quip or whatever. Like, whatever popped into our heads came out of our mouths. And that can be so detrimental, number one, to your relationships, because I would make little jokes to Wendy and things like that at her expense. And one day, I remember we're like sitting at a Chili's, because when you're 20 years old, that's where you go to eat. And so we're sitting at a Chili's, and she's sitting across from me. We're in Denver, because I remember we had been married for a short time. And I just made like a little quip, a little joke. And of course, you know, I'm thinking, what? Well, what's the big deal, right? And she just starts to cry.
In Chili's.
In Chili's.
How embarrassing.
the happy place. So we're sitting there, and she's...
Oh, wait, I need to say this. Believe it or not, I do not enjoy crying in public. I know you wouldn't believe that this morning, but I'm just saying, in general, I don't like that.
And she's just crying. I'm like, what? No, wait, why are you crying? I'm being funny here, right? And she's just like, I told you how bad that hurts my feelings when you do that. And she's just crying. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness. And I just felt so, like, such a turd. And it's so important that we watch our words in our relationship, even when we just think we're being silly, even when we just think we're being funny, whatever. Because our words affect our attitudes. They affect the color of our relationships, big time. So yes. So let the Holy Spirit renew your attitude. And so the next thing is just be honest, right? It is human nature for us to color our language in a way that makes us look good, right? That's we're really good at this. Do you guys remember when Bill Clinton went through that thing and he was like on trial for some mishandling of behavior in the White House, this just makes me sound really old, you know, like past presidents that were there before some of you were even born, but. But I just remember one of the things that stuck out at me through the news and all that stuff is this guy never gave a straight answer to anything. He was like this master political verbal manipulator. But you know what? We all do that. We all do that. We all like to talk in ways that will create an image of ourselves that is not accurate, that is better than what it really is. We all do that. And so when we're going through a hard time and when we're in a relationship... we like to project an image sometimes that everything is A-okay, especially in our friends and you know, other relationships. And when we're struggling with sin, what do we do? Like, have you ever been struggling with sin? And you have an opportunity to confess it and to bring it to light because that's how God heals it. That's how God delivers it, right? Because what does Scripture say? To confess our sin one to another. And instead, we look at each other and go, this has been kind of a rough week. I did not have, you know, and so, but that's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we do with each other. So, you know, when we're angry, a lot of times what we do is we shut people out instead of having an honest conversation. You know, instead of saying, hey, I just need to talk to you because something you said really bothered me. Okay.
Just cry.
Or just cry. Just cry. But instead, what do? We shut people out. We keep them at arm's length. You know, honest vulnerability with the right people, can be very difficult when we've been hurt in the past, right? But it can bring life and healing to our relationships. It can bring such life and healing with our relationships. It's so important that we can be honest with people. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I was growing up in our house, our needs weren't really articulated. So, like, I kind of internalized as a child that I shouldn't need. So if I needed something, I'm going to be an inconvenience, okay? So I see nodding heads. Other people have experienced this. So I wouldn't communicate that need because I knew what would happen. If I communicated that need, I don't say this because I hate saying this because my dad has changed dramatically since this time period. So y'all know he has apologized for all these things when I share this. But when I would articulate a need, it was like an inconvenience. Yeah, a sigh or why do you have to be so emotional, right? The only emotions that were really normal in my house was anger. That was okay to be angry. Other than that, the rest, just stop wearing your emotions on your sleeve, okay? So going into marriage, you can imagine, there are many times when I did not articulate my needs. And then when he didn't know what they were, and then he wouldn't meet them, and then there would be a disconnect, right? And probably the reason why I broke down crying in Chili's is because I had just swallowed it over and over and over again without, I mean, I had probably told him maybe once, but without communicating to him, that hurts, and here's why, then how's he going to know, right? So I would, because expressing my need, I was afraid that if I told him these things, this is how I feel or this is what I need, that it would change his view of me. So that was my own perception, right? It's not true. It wasn't anchored in truth. And I pretty much just projected my dad on him. I expected him to respond to me the way that my dad did. So therefore, I communicated with him the way that I would with my dad. And so I spent quite a few years feeling that my needs, or that I, even me, myself, I'm very insignificant. That is not healthy. You all know that. And what's crazy about that is he didn't feel that way either. But because I wasn't communicating, you know, as soon as I started, here's the funny thing, as soon as I started telling him things, or as soon as I started telling him even like my dreams or things, and I'm like this, like not just worried that what is he going to say? What is he going to think? What is he going to do? And when he was like, that's awesome, let's do that, I'm like, oh, I was surprised, right? So that's not healthy. So anyway, Jim and Maria talked last week, y'all remember, about how your needs matter, right? My needs matter and his needs matter. And that seems like a contradiction to dying to self. So Pat D talked about dying to self. Then we're talking about, well, your needs matter, and an unarticulated need is an unmet need. But it's kind of a both and, because we have to learn to talk to our, in our relationships, be honest about where we are, at the same time, die to ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's a weird dichotomy. But, and so like he said, you don't have to say anything, everything that you feel or think. I don't tell him every time something he does annoys me or hurts my feelings, because sometimes I know that's just me. Like, I'm having a bad day, and that, why did that hurt my feelings? It normally wouldn't, so it's time to just zip it, right? And I'll just work that out by myself. But you can speak up when you've been hurt in order to bring healing to the relationship. That's how you bring healing in your friendships, in your relationships.
Yes. And I can be annoying, right?
Well, so
walking around in my underwear eating pork rinds.
That never happens. Linda's trying to take it rid
That's
of
my
that
Saturday.
No.
Gary just said, I've done worse. All right. So, that's. Woo!
No!
When a Jewish man says he's done worse than eat pork rinds in his underwear, it's got to be bad. So, okay. So the third thing that we learn from Scripture is let go of anger. Let go of anger. You know, it's so easy to hold on to anger in our relationship. Sometimes it's easier to, like, forgive the neighbor kid for, like, vandalizing your house than it is to forgive your spouse for leaving, you know, their dirty clothes on the bathroom floor. You know, it's just let go of the anger. When you've been betrayed, it's a real challenge to release that anger. Especially when we have experienced a form of rejection. Rejection is like gasoline in the anger engine, right? Rejection is like gasoline in the anger engine. Women, when you've been rejected, when you've been pushed aside, when someone has broken your heart, or men do this when their sexual expectations aren't met in a relationship. Because a lot of times, men go, well, that's, I feel so intimate, I feel so close. That's, you know, because a lot of men, they just, for some reason, out of the five love languages, it's like 80% of men have physical touch. I don't know why. But when men are pushed off or rejected sexually, they take that and they feel rejected, and then they feel angry. And the wife goes, I don't know why he's so grumpy. I don't understand why he's so grumpy. Well, he feels angry. He feels rejected. Rejection is like gasoline in the anger engine. And so we've got to let go of anger. I have had several friends that have had just tragic endings to relationships because, so they have these tragic ends to relationship, right? And that happens sometimes. Sometimes the relationship just blows up, tragic ending, and you know, one of them gets angry, and what do? Go to Facebook, right? I think we've all seen someone write something angry on Facebook because their ex-husband or ex-wife or ex-ex-ex decided to go out there and put it out to the world. And the problem is this. Let's talk about new relationships. The angry, bitter words that we kind of put out there into the universe, they just repel the right people and attract the wrong people. I'll just tell you that right now. If you're like, oh, my ex did this, oh, what a jerk, or oh, I guess I'm not as pretty as she is or he is or whatever, right? All it does is attract other angry people, okay? It attracts the type of, like, if you have an ideal person that you're trying to attract and you go on Facebook and you're kind of spouting off angry words about your ex, you are attracting the opposite, the wrong person, okay? What happens when two angry people get together? Nothing good. Nothing good. All right? And so when your spouse leaves their dirty dishes for you to do, even though you've asked them 1,000 times, you know, it's so easy to just kind of carry anger in our interactions. Right? So, like, you know, you're angry because you've asked 1,000 times not, you know, to wash the dishes, not leave dirty dishes on the counter. Right? And then later on, you yell at them because, you know, they put the emphasis on the wrong syllable in fiancé, right? It's just like we get angry for stupid reasons when we don't let the anger go for the last 100 things, right? We have to take every interaction as it comes. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Give it to God. Have that honest conversation. Because here's what happens. A lot of times, what do? We get angry over something that's petty. And we know that it's petty, so we don't want to confront. Right? I don't want to confront it because I know that's petty. I shouldn't be angry about that. Okay? Or we don't want to have an honest conversation. Or we don't want to let that anger go. Or we don't want to give it to the Lord. And so then what happens is that anger all builds up, and then we're just always angry at them. They can't do anything right. Okay, take each occurrence as it comes, right? Amen. You got me with that? You feeling me? Because I'm telling you right now, when you get home, there's going to be dishes in the sink. I'm just kidding.
I think they're mine.
They're yours. Yeah. Oh, what? Sorry. This one's mine. Fourth.
I mean, I can talk if you want me.
You're almost up. Okay. Fourth thing is, be a generous friend. Be a generous friend. In your relationships, be generous. Be generous. Everyone has that friend that never contributes, right? You say, hey, we're getting together at my house. Bring a little something to share. They show up with nothing, right? They always have a complaint. They always have an excuse. There's always something that, you know, that's gotten on their nerves. Always taking, never giving. If you don't have someone in your life that's always taking, never giving, you're probably that person. So, did I step on some toes?
Yeah. Unless they rooted that person out, but
what?
Yeah, we're supposed to love them. Anyway.
I'm just saying, we do potlucks here like 4 times a year. I know who's always taken, never given. So
he has a list.
I have a list. I keep a list. It's the same list next to my candy list. Yeah. So, okay. So, be a generous friend. Be generous. Generosity with our kindness, generosity with our attention, generosity with our encouragement, right? Those things are attractive, and they attract the right people.
Yes. And if you have trouble being generous, or, you know, yeah, if you have trouble being generous with people, one of the keys is to see them as people made in the image of God, because they are. They are image bearers, right? So just like you. Therefore, because they're people made in the image of God, they have great value. So anytime I'm really angry with him and I don't feel like being generous, I still have to see him as an image bearer. He's made in the image of God. He has great value to God. Therefore, he needs to have great value to me. What are you doing when I turn my head?
Okay. I'm lapping up the praise.
Okay.
Great value.
Yes, great value.
Great value.
But often, especially with, just in general, we are concerned a lot of times with guarding our time, our resources, our energy. And it's important to have boundaries, of course. But this is one of those both and situations, right? So it's not just about, we do have to take care of ourselves. We do have to get rest. We do have to, we do have to have some boundaries. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when God opens an opportunity for us to be generous and we go, this is technically not the day I would, or, it's my day off, so I'm not going to help him with that or whatever, then we start to, that's not generous. So we need to allow God to show us those opportunities to be generous.
All right. So fifth, be holy. If you want to bring your new self into your relationships, be holy. Verse 31 says to get rid of all evil types of behavior. All types of evil behavior. Okay? The scripture talking about getting along with each other. So bring your, like we said, bring your new self into your relationships. Right? Be sexually pure. Be honest. Put God first. Those are important things. To be completely vulnerable and honest. When Wendy and I, when we got married, our honeymoon was the first time we were ever intimate that way. And to this day, 27 years later, I can't tell you how happy I am that we made that decision. And that has helped us to kind of lay a foundation of purity in our relationship and in our marriage. And so, if you end up getting married, why not get married with the least amount of regrets possible? Right? Why not get married going, yes, we walked in purity, we did it right, we walked in holiness. And those are good things. Now, I believe that, sometimes we make decisions or we make mistakes or we do things, that we kind of look back and we go, maybe I should have been a little more pure in that area. That's okay. There's grace for you. God loves you. There's grace for you. Going forward in new relationships, bring purity as much as you can. As much as you can. Okay? And being sexually pure, being honest, putting God first. Just be the type of person you want your children to be. Right? Don't we want those things for our children? Don't we want our children to walk in purity? Don't we want our children to make wise decisions? Don't we want our children to walk in holiness and purity? Those things are important. And so, the other thing is, when you're in a relationship, can I just tell you, when you're really striving to walk in purity in your relationships, it really brings a lot of joy to your relationships. Because what are a lot of the things that we wrestle with? What are a lot of things that we struggle with? When we walk in moral compromise, it tends to bring tension in our relationships, doesn't it? It tends to kind of bring a little bit of strife, and we kind of argue over those things and things like that. But be honest. Be the kind of person that you want your children to be. And be the kind of person that you want to attract. Right? Be the kind of person you want to attract. So, and the last thing is this. Be forgiving. Right? Do you know what's really unattractive? Unforgiveness. Right? You ever meet somebody that just kind of wears bitterness like an old stinky sweater? Yeah. It's not very attractive, is it? When somebody kind of wears that bitterness and wears that unforgiveness. And we kind of talked a little bit about kind of going online or being vocal about criticizing our ex, right? Criticizing your ex is like giving them a piggyback ride everywhere and wondering why no one wants to get close to you. Think about that, all right? So forgive. Every day if you have to, forgive. And give that hurt to the Lord and keep giving it to him.
Yeah, because we don't forgive because the other person deserves it. We forgive because God forgave us. So when we don't forgive our spouse or our friend or our child, we carry that into every interaction thereafter. We carry that with us wherever we go. So it's going to come up time and time again. And we're not going to be able to enter into vulnerability with in any other relationships if we're carrying unforgiveness. We're just not. How do you learn to trust again and forgive? So it's not about whether they deserve it or not. It's about that God tells us to do it, and because he forgave us, we can forgive them.
Yeah. So just pro tip for those of you who might go on a first date sometime in the next few months or whatever. If you go on a first date and your date starts criticizing their ex, make it your last date. Okay, just make it your last date too. So, because that's all you're gonna hear for the next several dates. So forgiveness is so important. Forgiveness is more important than being defended. Forgiveness is more important than being understood, right? We want to be understood, and those are good things, and those are important things, right? But they're not as important as forgiveness. Forgiveness is more important than being vindicated. I learned that, with Wendy and I, because we've had, 27 years, two or three arguments maybe, and two or three arguments. A couple arguments, okay, over the last 27 years. And we would argue about lots of different things. Silly things, big things, little things. I mean, just argue
all the things.
And we hurt each other. I don't know, you guys probably don't understand that. You probably don't believe that when I say that. But I have hurt her, and she has hurt me. And a lot of times when we're hurt and we do kind of make that little confrontation, or we talk about it, or we argue about it, what is it that we want when we're hurt? We want to be understood. But forgiveness trumps understanding. That's a tough one. I know that's a hard pill to swallow. I know that's like a, what? But forgiveness trumps understanding. Forgiveness is more important than being understood. So my forgiving her for what she's done is more important, it should be more important to me than her understanding what she did to me. Y'all kind of follow that one? Very quiet in here with that statement. Because when somebody's hurt us, we want them to understand what they did. We want them to understand how they made us feel. But forgiveness is more important than being understood. If you take one of these things with you today, I want you to take that with you, okay? It's more important than being understood. Get really good at forgiving if you want to have a good relationships. Get really good at forgiving, all right? So we're going to do this. We're going to pray really quick because it's late and we don't want to keep you guys any longer, even though I know you would probably listen to us all day if you could, right? Yes. So, but let me pray. Really quickly, before I do, though, one of our prayer team members said today that they felt like the Holy Spirit was saying that that finances are causing friction in some of your relationships. Okay, finances are causing friction in some of your relationships. I think statistically, more couples fight over finances than it's like in the top three, right? Finances can cause some frictions, they cause arguments. Our first 6 months of marriage, we argued about finances almost every day, okay? And so we have someone here at a church that is trained in helping people get their finances together, trained in sitting down with couples and working through those things. And so if you are experiencing that today, I want you to come and see me after this last song, and I will introduce you to this person. I will tell you where to go and how to get a hold of them. They're right here in this church. They're sitting in this room. They're amazing with money. And they would love to, they'd love to just sit down and talk with you. So let's pray. Worship team, come on up. Let's wrap up today. God, we love you so much, and we praise you, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your word that teaches us, Lord, to bring our new self into our relationships. God, I pray that when our old selves pop up and show up at dinner, when our old selves pop up and show up in our relationships and in interactions with others, God, that we would recognize it right away and just say, no, I'm bringing my new self into this. My honest self, my forgiving self, my walking in purity self. God, that we would bring our new selves, our renewed minds and hearts into our relationships. In Jesus' name.